Well, hello, good people of the internet. It is I, Tommy Kelly, and this is Adventures in Woo Woo. And in this episode, coming to you from the wonderful Stevenstown Pond, I'm going to talk a bit about clearing out your altar space, clearing out your mind, clearing out your area, general clearing out. People often ask me about banishing and what's the best sort of ritual to do, you know, when it comes to banishing. Obviously looking for something along the lines of the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram or, you know, some sort of non-Christian kind of counterpart, a non-Judeo-Christian kind of counterpart to that. And banishing seems to be a huge thing in magic, and it's like almost comes from this paranoia that unless you banish, unless you clear, these woo-woo monsters going to come home with you and destroy your life. And while maybe there is something to be said in all of those things, it's not something I spend an awful lot of time on. I did do the lesser banishing of the ritual for a long while, every day, as was Donald Michael Craig's suggestion in Modern Magic. And I did it for about, I don't know, maybe 6-7 weeks, and things got really shit. And this is not the only kind of account of this. When I was going through it and I put it up on Reddit, I found people who also, excuse all the birds that are around me, but it's the natural state of the world when you're in a park, apart from the big road that's just over there full of lorries. I thought it would be immune to traffic, but obviously not. But yeah, it's a fairly common experience with the lesser banishing of the ritual. When you start doing banishing, things go a bit pear-shaped for you. Because it's kind of a bit like chemo, I suppose, in some ways, that it's, you know, you're killing everything, you're destroying everything, you're pushing out the good and the bad in the hope that, you know, you destroy the bad. But it's not something I necessarily would recommend. I don't not recommend it. Do what thou wilt, you know, do whatever you want, do what suits you and what best for you and all that, but it's not something I do anymore. I don't do the lesser banishing ritual or the star ruby or even, you know, my own version of it, which was the Roman pentagram ritual, which I did a long time ago because people were asking about a non kind of Christian version of it. The big banishing I do now, and something I find extremely helpful, is to clear stuff out of my actual physical locality, you know, my office, my room. I spend an awful lot of time in the house. Just get rid of the clutter, get rid of stuff you don't use anymore, and because there seems to be like a kind of a stagnant energy that builds up when you just kind of hoard things in a way, or you don't clean things. It's like, I know it's become somewhat of a cliche, you know, clean your room, that whole thing and all that, but there's so much truth in it, you know. It's like we have so much concerns about the world and about pollution and about global warming, and rightly so. I'm not dismissing that, but like, it's to be concerned about those things and yet leaving your room at home in a mess, or your house is a mess. It seems like you should start with that, to me, anyway, before you're worrying too much about the grander scheme of things that you possibly can't have that much of an impact on, where you can have a huge impact on your local and particularly in your own personal space. So I did a clearing out yesterday, and one of the kind of centerpieces of my office is my bookshelves, and there's an altar on it. Well, there was two altars on it yesterday, so I moved it down to one. So I cleared out all, you know, dusted down all the books, cleared out all the, because as anyone who has bookshelves will probably know, that you push the books in and then the front of them gets kind of overrun with knickknacks and stuff that you just don't know where to put anymore. So it's just kind of a place where junk gets stored. So I got rid of all that. But I started looking at my altar and I kind of felt that I had been way out of touch with my altar. I used to find it very pleasing, very powerful and very helpful, and a sort of a center of focus for my magical ideas and my work in that. But I completely had been ignoring it. And what I came kind of to the conclusion was that it was full of symbols that are not necessarily representative of where I am magically or who I am. There was a St. Cyprian statue, and I've spent an awful lot of time trying to, you know, contact, if you want, St. Cyprian, or get to work with him. I bought all the books. I did the pilgrimage to see his relics in Romania, which, while it was wonderful, it still didn't get me any kind of connection. And when I kind of got to the whole kind of thing of my work with Cyprian was that it was, in a sense, going on a journey to meet other people's heroes. Because there's so many much talk, say, about in the occult and chaos magic and different people about St. Cyprian, about how wonderful he is and how helpful and all that. It kind of felt like a prerequisite to be involved in all that. And it was never happening for me, and it was something that I kept battling with. And if that old adage that's often brought up is that, you know, if your magic isn't working, do more of it. So it's like that's how I was adding more to it, getting more relics, not relics, trinkets and, you know, icons and all of that kind of stuff. I never really got it. Now, I do have a connection with the saint from the Four Sevens, obviously, but that's like not just an analogue of Saint Cyprian. There's a whole other element to that as well, which I feel more connected to than the standard Saint Cyprian symbol or saint. So that just wasn't working for me. So I says, rather than trying to be part of something that I'm not, I'm trying to work towards this kind of magic that's fashionable magic, if you want. And Saint Cyprian certainly is fashionable magic icon in many ways of the uses of that word. So taking that off was something that I think was is going to be good because it more it doesn't represent who I am or where I'm coming from. I also had a Ganesha on the altar, which I've taken and put on my window in front of me. Ganesha for me never sat right on an altar for me. He never seemed happy, and I know that sounds woo-woo and hokey and all of those things, but it just never, I suppose ultimately the way of putting it is it never felt right to me having him on the altar. This doesn't seem like the type of deity or idea or dude who would you know, enjoy that. It's not like he's pompous in that way. He's very grand, obviously, but doesn't like the elevation, possibly. Anyway, so he's now on my window in my dragon's blood plant. I do have a Baphomet, and I was unsure what I would do with the Baphomet because I'm still not sure why I got that. There was an awful lot of sinks around Baphomet, an awful lot of kind of things coming up around that. So I do think there's something in the future for me that I have to unravel with that. But for now, I don't know what it is. So that's removed. And he seems much happier to be a guardian of the book than he was as the centerpiece of the altar. So what did I replace it with? Well, I replaced it with, obviously, the 40 servant stuff that was there, but given more of a center kind of a feel. The actual box that houses the original 40 servants are there. And I made it more a useful altar. So it has my tools, it has my divination stuff, it has my banishing stuff in that, you know, for smudging and for clearing out and that kind of stuff. But it also has two images on it. One is Stuart Wilde and the other is George Harrison. And they are two very much constants in my life that have been around since I got into all of this kind of stuff. Stuart Wilde might be obvious enough. He's definitely a hero of mine. Again, I don't go the whole way with an awful lot of his ideas. But he's the guy who got me into all this. And he's my touching stone and the thing that I go back to when I need to kind of rediscover who I am on my path and stuff like that. And I'm going through a big kind of Stuart Wilde phase again, particularly when we're doing one of his books, The Quickening, over on Patreon as part of the study group. So that seems an obvious enough choice to have him in a kind of a guru level position or a teacher position, or have him on the altar as a mark of respect. The George Harrison probably less so for an awful lot of people, because it just seems, who's George Harrison? Number one, if you don't know, he's this guitar player with the Beatles. But he was such a spiritual guy, and you know, he was one of the main reasons I feel that, you know, the kind of the influx of the Eastern religion and ideas and thoughts became mainstream. At least if he wasn't the originator of it, which there was a lot going on at the time, he definitely was a popularizer of it. And so, you know, a large extent of the popularity has to put down to him and the Beatles getting into, you know, hanging out with the Maharishi and transcendental meditation, and then him hanging out with Hare Krishnas and all of those things. Hugely spiritual man, like more spiritual than a musician in many ways, and his entire life from when he discovered all of these things became centered around it. And I love how he kind of mixed the creativity of an artist and the spirituality of as a person, and I find that very helpful and very I've admired that an awful lot, and very we're pursuing that kind of thing. So it's that whole thing of where he's living in the material world while kind of you know, trying to be a spiritual person, and that's a lot of things he kind of debated with. And a huge influence on me on many, many ways, musically, creatively, spiritually, person, all that. It's like, I remember when I found out he died, and I was touring with a band at the time, and whatever kind of expression I said, it was, oh, one of my friends has died. And then immediately corrected myself, going, oh, that's, you know, that's very weird, because, you know, obviously these celebrities aren't your friends. But it was kind of that kind of relationship in my mind that I kind of have with them. So definitely two people that I feel are more in tune with who I am and who I present, or not who I present, who what way I want to work, or, you know, my path, more representation of my path than, say, Cyprian or even Baphomet, though I do, as I say, I have something to walk around Baphomet as a symbol that I've yet to discover. So it's that's just put aside. Again, probably not all to work though. So what I would suggest to you is have a look around your altar, whether you have a physical one or a mental one, and have a look and see what stuff have you there because of fashion or because of trying to keep up with the Joneses or trying to be in the cool gang. Or what stuff are you working towards that maybe you're going, well, is this actually what I'm into? Or is this what I think I should be into? Like, if you're into Wicca, but you feel it's not cool because you're hanging around with chaos magicians, you know, get your Wiccan altar together, do your Wiccan stuff. Don't just feel that you have to like get on board as I did, say with Cyprian or any of the stuff. You know, if you don't like sigils, don't use sigils. If you don't like servitors, don't use the servitors. The point I think of an altar is a focus point of your energy. I feel that the point of magic is to put you as the magician as the center of the universe. And your altar should be an echo of that. It should be a place of power that represents that, rather than a kind of a pushing away of trying to look, you know, because I was like trying to petition Cyprian to be my friend or to contact me, and that was kind of a loss of power there, because you're giving away your power, kind of begging an entity or an idea to come help you out, whatever, rather than it being a place, a source of power where I can build my power and build up from that. So not even in your altar, have a look around your books, clear out some books. I try to give away, if people come into my house, I always try to give them something, and it usually ends up being books or something like that. I never lend books because you never get them back, so if you're going to give someone something, give them it. I think, not always, sometimes it's not practical. But clear out your space. If you're feeling stagnant like I was with energy and with what's going on in my life, start cleaning your office, clean your room, clean your bedroom, clean your area around it, clean it, your ideas in your head, clean, you know, the books on your shelf, all of these things. And so spring clean your mind, spring clean your altar, all of those things. So let me know how you get on with that, or what your thoughts around the whole thing of what should be on your altar, about trying to keep up with the Joneses magical wise, being fashionable magical, you know, have the fashionable magical ideas and all of those things. I'm very interested in see what other people's experiences is of this. So, good people of the internet, until our next adventure, be well.